Our next and last reader is someone who, you know, I was explaining to a girlfriend of mine how great Peter Richards' Oubliette was. And we went to the small press fair, and it had been some time since I had been able to find it, and this man hand-sold it to me and thought it was nice that I was buying it for my girlfriend. he is a veteran of this world and one of the better poets, I think, working right now. His latest is The Pajamaist. He is the editor, back then of Verse Press, now of Wave Press, and it's my pleasure to invite him up here. It's Matthew Zapruder.
Thank you. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, all the readers. I don't know, if you're anything like me, you're totally overwhelmed right now with all kinds of things. So I'm just going to try to help us make a little cave in here. Yeah, so just thought I'd say what I'm going to do. This first poem is called, I'm going to read all new poems, so we'll try these out. This first poem is called Schwinn, which is, kind of bike. Schwinn. I hate the phrase inner life. My attic hurts, and I'd like to quit the committee for naming tornadoes. Do you remember how easy and sad it was to be young and defined by our bicycles? My first was yellow, and though it was no Black Phantom or Stingray, but merely a Varsity, I loved the afternoon it was suddenly gone, chasing its apian flash through the neighborhoods with my father in vain. Like being a nuclear family in a television show, totally unaffected by a distant war. Then we returned to the green living room to watch the no-names hold our over-the-hill gang under the monotinted, chromatic, defeated Super Bowl waters. 1973, year of the black fly caught in my jello, year of the suffrage building on K Street Northwest, where a few minor law firms mingle proudly with the union of butchers and meat cutters. A black hand already visits my father in sleep, moving up his spine to touch his amygdala. I will never know a single thing anyone feels, just how they say it, which is why I'm standing here exactly, covered in shame and lightning, doing what I'm supposed to do. This next poem is called April Snow. I just was down in Texas for 2 months in Marfa in West Texas, and the nearest town is 3 hours away. It's El Paso, which is like the shittiest town in America. But I was in the airport a couple times there. So, April Snow. Today in El Paso, all the planes are asleep on the runway. The world is in a delay. All the political consultants drinking whiskey keep their heads down, lifting them only to look at the beautiful scarred waitress who wears typewriter keys as a necklace. They jingle when she brings them drinks. Outside the giant plate glass windows, the planes are completely covered in snow. It piles up on the wings. I feel like a mountain of cell phone chargers. Each of the various faiths of our various fathers keeps us only partly protected. I don't want to talk on the phone to an angel. At night, before I go to sleep, I'm already dreaming of coffee, of ancient generals, of the faces of statues, each of which has the eternal expression of one of my feelings. I examine my feelings without feeling anything. I ride my blue bike on the edge of the desert. I am president of this glass of water. This is another true story. It's one of those poems where the title runs right into the poem. So, after reading Tu Fu, I emerge from a cloud of falseness. Oh, it occurs to me that I stole that title from a Charles Wright poem, which is like stepping over a dead bird or something. Charles Wright, after reading Tu Fu, I step over my backyard or something. After reading Tu Fu, I emerge from a cloud of falseness, wearing a suit of light. It's too easy to be strange. I glow reading a few pages of an ancient Chinese poet to calm me, but soon I am traveling down terrible roads like an insect chased by golden armies. Then I'm tired in a little boat filling with smoke. Then, in the seasonably cold morning, I'm once again missing my friends. Some have been sent to the capital to take their exams, or work for a while, or be slowly executed. I cannot help them. I'm trying to build a straw hut beside the transparent river. The sky is a perfect black cupola, with stars that look white but are actually slightly blue. I have two precious candles to last me a night that has suddenly come. I feel the lives of cities drift through me. I'm a beautiful scroll on which the history of a dynasty has been written in a dead language not even one lonely scholar knows. I see sad crushed plastic everywhere and put some thoughts composed of words that do not belong together and feel a little digital hope. This poem is called The Painted Desert, which is a place in Arizona, I think. Yep. Is that right? I'm going to check over there. That's my fact checker over there. Yeah. Ooh, Arizona. Okay, The Painted Desert. Right now in the rest area, it's sunny and cold. Someone is taking a picture of the vending machine. I've never been sad for appropriate reasons. Never have I sat in the wet grass, looking not at dark sky, but blue paper someone had carefully taken hours to punch out in a shape, invisible, until the flashlight is turned on below. Earlier, when I said everything is a switch, immediately the interlocking gears in the self-hatred mechanism began to grind. Part of me is always about to turn in a direction I will never go. Trucks roar filled with things people need. Sometimes I sound to myself like a robot. Too many times as a teen, I stared onto the surface of a mysterious, solvable, multifaceted cube. I can see you don't need me to stretch out my hand to point to dread and its little button. The door swings open. One entire miserable summer, I should have been happy, flashes in the word molybdenum. I saw people mining cinder from volcanoes. Cinder is made into blocks, lighter than cement, to hold the plywood shelves, holding one or more than one person's books. To intermingle is so difficult to extricate. Shells marine organisms abandon, dissolve into ooze. Found near waterfalls, it's known as travertine. Goodbye. Someday I'll invent the magic lantern, then music, then whatever's the opposite of the need to control everything so it can be perfect for you. I think I'm just going to read one last poem. It's called A Summer Rainstorm. Thank you very much, and yeah, thank you. It was awesome to listen to all the poems and stories and drinks. So, thank you. A Summer Rainstorm. Sometimes I'm happy to be here in this bright room, drifting through music made by others, looking down on the heads of people passing, teaching each other that life is foregoing. I think everyone I can see is partially sad, because we will never be fully forgiven. This apartment building has seen so much moving through the city. Well-ordered troops, many proud, careful mothers and fathers pushing carriages, many people holding hands or talking on their cell phones and crying. Hundreds of girls, each wearing a plastic tiara, carefully placed on her head by the mayor at the annual spring parade. This building with the ordinary green facade, no one will see as they wait for the storm to pass, their breath creating giant cloud forms. From my window, I can see their heads. It makes me smile a little with love, how much they look like moose in the zoo. How they stand very patiently close to one another, under the door of the sky. Their memories gracefully blundering into the long, cool forest, full of shadows. Our life is the one we already have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, John Beer. Thank you, Arta Collins, Joel Craig, Michael Cisniewski. Thank you, Steffi Drews. Thank you, Kathy Park Hong, Zach Plague, Nick Twemlow, Michael Zabata, and Michael Zapruder, Matthew Zapruder. Thank you, Greg Purcell.
Thank you,
Sarah Dodson. Thank you, Sarah Dodson at Make Magazine. We got Featherproof Books. We've got Danny's Reading Series. We've got The Canarium. We've got another Chicago magazine. Thank you all, and thank you for coming. And thank you, Chicago, and thank you, New York. And thank the bar staff. Thank you.